The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Couple of updates on Charlie Gard, the 11-month-old that has been doomed to death by the English healthcare system. A New York hospital has agreed now to admit the patient if they allow him to leave. Mom said yesterday that he is not in pain. He is not suffering. Pope Francis wants to issue Charlie and the parents a passport from the Vatican so they can overcome the rulings banning the child from traveling. It's good to see that the Pope is seemingly on the front lines of this. Donald Trump was in Poland yesterday, gave an outrageously great speech. It was so refreshing to hear somebody stand up for the West, not apologize for the United States or the West, and declare that our Western way of life is in trouble, and somebody needs to stand up and be the beacon of hope. I thought it was a great speech. We'll get into that. But there's also another story that I read that I don't think everybody else is going to be talking about today, but I think affects you right where you live. It does me. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Did you know that Kellogg's cereal is in trouble? That Kellogg's cereal is in trouble.
Not in my house.
Yeah, not in my house either.
Yeah, we eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
But
Kellogg's. Kellogg's is having a hard time selling the usual breakfast cereals now. Campbell's soup and Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima pancake mix, not the syrup, the mix, having a hard time. They are now looking at taking Hamburger Helper off the shelves.
Even though Hamburger Helper helped her hamburger make a great meal?
It took you a minute to remember that. Hamburger Helper was a staple in my family. In fact, oh, we bad. Just had it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tanya went and she's like,
oh, wow.
You know, it's Hamburger Helper Day. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. My kids are like, what?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Rafe looked at it and was like, what is that? I'm like, you're going to love it.
Hamburger Helper.
Yeah. My mom had some class when I was a kid, and my dad had to take care of me every Tuesday night. Tuesday night, baby. Hamburger Helper. Oh, yeah. That was the way you went.
And Tuna Helper.
It's just that things are
we had the Tuna Helper
changing too much. Just
yeah.
changing.
So listen to this. First of all, grocery stores used to have, and it's like 15 years ago, so think of September 11th, used to have 4,000 products on the shelves that you could grab up to 4,000 products in, you know, an average supermarket. That number now is 40,000.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you go to especially some of the nicer grocery stores.
Yeah.
You will go to the condiment aisle,
oh.
and it used to be like A1, Heinz, yeah. French's, and maybe one something that you're like, what is that? That's exotic. Now, you go and you look at steak sauces and ketchup, and it's almost the full aisle in some places.
I'm on a different ketchup every time I go to the store pattern. Like, I can't buy the same one anymore. Now, it's like, there's the jalapeno ketchups.
No.
Those are really good.
No.
They have hot sauce ketchup.
Heinz regular ketchup.
Heinz. See, this is
the only way to go.
The world is changing, guys. I hate to tell you.
Okay, so listen to this. Giants are struggling with competition that is eroding business from both ends. High-end consumers are shifting towards fresher items with fewer processed ingredients, while cost-conscious shoppers are buying inexpensive store brands. The makers of staples, including Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee?
Come on. Well, have you had...
I lived on Chef Boyardee.
So did
ravioli.
Have you had their ravioli?
Yeah, I love it.
Lately?
No.
Yeah.
But I used to live...
Franco-American.
Do they still make SpaghettiOs? You know,
SpaghettiOs and the regular spaghetti. Oh, we were forced to eat that as
it's forever. Forced.
SpaghettiOs? That was like a
I celebrated
treat.
Every time that can opened up.
Yes.
Every
we
time.
Never got SpaghettiOs. That was not.
That's a delicacy.
Used to cut hot dogs up in them?
Yes.
As a specialty?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yes.
Well, I feel delicious. Like a lot of these foods age like movies from old eras age. Yes. Like, I remember, I love that movie. And then you turn it on, you're like, this is terrible. How did I like this?
That's probably what it would be.
That was my experience with Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Really?
I opened it up. Oh, somebody run to get some Pat ravioli. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Pat, I used to eat that stuff cold in the can.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Oh, it's. Yeah. Awful.
Because the meat, it was
I
very
feel bad
soft,
about this.
Wasn't it?
The meat was really
bad. Soft. Yeah. I remember the texture of it. I mean, this is a long time, but it was a texture. It was like, I don't know, soft. Like
it was almost cheese meat. It was kind of a cheesy texture of meat.
Yes. Well, you're not sure if it was cheese or meat.
I loved it too.
SpaghettiOs, the best. Yeah. Okay. So Chef Boyardee, canned pasta, hamburger helper, failed to spot the threat and didn't innovate in time. Now listen to this. Whew. Kraft macaroni and cheese is in trouble.
No.
I won't hear that. Mm-hmm. Kraft macaroni and cheese is
not in trouble. I buy enough to keep
the
whole company in business.
We have on one shelf in our pantry is just blue and yellow boxes.
Yes.
Because we get the single serving ones because we're too lazy to actually make it in the... but I mean, like, buy the case.
I know. We do, too. I don't have the single servings.
They're great.
Do they still have the Kraft macaroni and cheese? There was the deluxe that had the cheese that you squeezed out of the little silver foil pouch.
Too, but the Kraft
deluxe still make
has that. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. My wife always chintz on macaroni and cheese. She just buys the regular box, which I love. I still love.
There's something better, though, than the Velveeta macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that's good.
That
is good. Only time you ever want Velveeta.
I say that as my wife and then pulls the big tray of macaroni and cheese that's made from hand by hand out of the oven. And I think,
shut up.
That's not macaroni.
You can't compare.
The pressure has set off a bout of soul searching in the industry, as well as some dramatic restructuring. Some companies are shedding underperformed brands. Others have contemplated mergers. Nestle, which said last month it is looking to sell its U.S. confectionery business.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Look up what Nestle owns. When I was a kid, Nestle had the chocolate bar and Quick, and that was it.
Oh, way past that.
Oh, I know that.
Way.
You know that Hershey's is in trouble?
No.
Yes. Chocolate is M&M's are in trouble. All of these.
What are you talking about? What does this mean? Because a lot of times you get these. It's like radio is going to die. And then radio just seems to go on and generate billions of dollars for decades.
Have you noticed that M&M's now has like M&M's pretzels?
Yes.
M&M's.
Yes.
That's because they're trying to innovate because the candy that we all grew up with is not performing anymore, except for old people like us.
This is going to ruin it. It's going to be M&M's with kale. It pretty soon. Quinoa M&M's.
Well, I've done the green tea candies lately. We do a segment called Spoons on Pat and Stu, in which we try a different product. We just tried strawberry nut M&M's the other day.
They weren't bad.
They were pretty freaking good. Mm. We had
a strawberry nut. I don't even know what strawberry nut is.
Well, it's not a. It's a nut. And it's strawberry flavored.
How do you make
it? Peanut M&M's, but it's got a strawberry taste.
Don't read too much.
Okay. That's basically what it was. But they were good. Reese's, we did white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups and big peanut butter cups crunchy this week. Freaking good. I mean, this is the golden age of these foods. The
fact they better is that, not go under now.
But like, and that's what I wonder. I would like to see the analysis on this because I wonder if it's people going from, I used to just, have M&M's to now I'm spreading that out to 100 different products. But you know, if the same company is owning all the varieties.
Well, but it is the difference between, like, they're saying that in 20 years, Coke is going to be, like, as available as Mr. Pibb. You know,
I will say
but Coke products worldwide, Coke products represent, I think, 6% of every liquid that people are drinking.
Should be higher.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it should be Coke, regular Coke. None of this any kind of funny Coke. Regular Coke.
I'm not with you on that. But I will say, like, you go into they have these palaces of convenience stores in Texas, and they're all over the place now. But some of them here have. It used to be like there would be four freezer, refrigerator aisles, and you doors, and you'd open them up, and there'd be like three of them would be soda, and then one would be like iced tea and bottled water. Now they have 16 doors in some of these places.
Oh, please.
But it's only two that are soda. And then there's like four that are energy drinks.
Yeah.
And then waters and weird.
This is rookie. As a rookie, have you been to a Buc-ee's?
I have, yes.
but all right. So people who are not from the South, you've got to move down here.
They're like Walmart.
I don't even know what you're thinking by staying up there with the snow and the movie theaters that don't bring you gourmet meals in the middle of the movie. What the hell are you thinking?
In a Barco lounge recliner.
We have gas stations here. I'm not kidding you. The size of a frickin' Walmart. You can go to the convenience store, which is surrounded by like 3,000 gas pumps. I believe they have regular, unleaded, diesel, and strawberry nut-flavored gas. And the inside of Buc-ee's, I'm not kidding you, we have stopped there. Not for gas, not for anything. Yeah. Just to look, it's like you could buy patio furniture. They have fresh foods. They have chefs making stuff.
Walls of fountain drinks.
Walls
of fountain.
Walls of every candy you can possibly imagine.
I live about 20 minutes away from one, and I just bought an apartment closer because I didn't feel comfortable being that far. It's incredible, but I mean, if this thing is, you take Hamburger Helper, which used to be a dominant food for every dad whose the wife was out at a class that night and they cooked the only thing they knew how to cook. And you go from that to you're spreading that out to a bunch of different varieties. But Hamburger Helper still has a place there.
The problem is that these companies like Nestle, Kellogg, they were all built on a model that, you know, the cash was rolling in through the doors.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't have the money to keep those plants and run the business. They can become a specialty brand.
And they were
but that's not what they were.
No. Built at a time when people just cared about taste. Just give me good food. It's gone so far beyond that now.
No. They're actually saying that the problem is that processed foods got such a bad name.
Yes.
And their taste.
They want healthier food.
They want healthier food. They want fresh and they want better taste.
But can we take a moment?
And they want
here?
Organic. Yeah. Even though they don't know what that means.
Which is all
I don't know what that means.
It's all just as much a branding thing as Chef Boyardee was back in the day. But I mean,
but they're saying also that people like Costco and Kroger and everybody else, they can make their own labeled brand. So you're getting the pressure from both sides. You're getting these. I mean, you go to, what is it, Central Market here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go to Central Market, I mean, it's like it's a paradise of grocery store.
Well,
I walk in every single time I walk into Central Market and go grocery shopping. I look at it and think, this is a monument to the Western way of life and American life.
Is.
It is a monument to it.
Amazing.
I walked in 3 weeks ago. And off on the patio where people were drinking, you know, wine and having meals, the patio of the grocery store, they had a big band concert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking towards the front of the grocery store and I'm realizing that this is the grocery store. And I thought, nobody would have done this. Nobody would have gone and said, hey, let's go listen to the band and go sit out in the sun and the patio at the grocery store.
I know.
And then you go in and it's got everything you could possibly imagine.
And there's been cultural relevance to this conversation, although it doesn't feel news-based. But what this is a vindication of everything we argue for every day.
Every day. Capitalism itself.
The capitalism has made this possible. And even to serve hardcore liberals who think you have to have organic and raw and whatever the heck they want to eat, that even their lives have been incredibly improved by the system they fight against every single day. This I walk into these stores and you're right. It is a monument. It's as if you're walking into a church. Sometimes I feel that way. Look at what has been accomplished here.
I think this is in every town.
It is the greatest thing, I think, that America has done, or capitalism has done. The free market is responsible for going from 4,000 products, which was a miracle in itself of the day, to 40,000 products. And everybody's like, well, yeah, but the rest of the world... You know what? The rest of the world has the grocery stores that we grew up in, has the grocery stores of the maybe even the 1990s in the rest of the world, which when we had those grocery stores in the 1990s, they had the 70s. And when we had it in the 70s, they had it in the 50s. We're moving forward. And food, the reason why Kraft and everybody else is having trouble is because you're able to make this food cheaper, better, higher quality at a much lower price. It is a testament to the free market system. Now this, you have trouble getting a full night's sleep, you want to get a hold of a Casper mattress. With Casper, you'll get a higher quality mattress and a cool, comfortable sleep every night at a much more affordable price. Casper will ship right to your front door in a small little box. You open it up. I mean, you don't even need two people to bring this mattress in. It's amazing. You just pick the box up from your door. You open it where you want your bed, and you cut the ribbon around it, and the bed pops out. And within 2 minutes, it's a foam mattress. It is ready for you to just lay down on. And man, it is a comfortable, comfortable mattress that keeps you cool. Now, I could tell you about it. I could send you down to a store and you should try this out. Problem is, they don't have stores because the problem is stores suck. This is a testament to capitalism again. They can send it to you. You try it out for 100 nights. If you don't love it, they'll refund every single penny. They can afford to do this because everybody generally keeps them because they love them. Casper Mattress, if you don't love it, they will come and pick up the mattress and refund every single penny. There is zero hassle in this. Try it out yourself. Make sure you're sleeping on the best mattress you can. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try it. Put it to the test. 100 nights, risk-free. Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. You get $50 off the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, promo code Beck. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, we're just talking about how much the world is changing. We're talking about how Nestle is looking to sell its candy division, and how is candy not profitable? It is. It's just not the way they designed it, the system to work. It's like NBC. You know, if NBC goes out of business, which it's not, but it is actually dying a slow death. It's not because people aren't watching TV anymore. They're watching it in a different way, and they want it delivered in a different way. So it's an old model, and that model of NBC just doesn't work like the new model does. I'm reading a book called The Content Trap right now that is fascinating to me because it is... It just shows how rapid things are changing, and the idea that you're going to have a job or you're going to be in business, you know, you could start a small business and then it'll just, you know, just pass it on to your kids. That's going to become more and more rare. that you're going to start a small business and have it forever, or you're going to, you know, you're on top right now. Look behind you, because there's somebody reinventing right now. And if you're not constantly reinventing, it's just not going to work. And that's a different kind of thinking altogether.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. We've got a couple of things coming up. Way for you to get involved and do something really quite amazing. Also, Bill O'Reilly is coming up in a few minutes. Some news on Chip and Joanna Gaines, which is something that really has puzzled us for the last few weeks. And we actually have one of the best First Amendment and media attorneys going to be joining us at the top of hour three to talk about this amazing scam that is going on in advertising that we just don't understand how people are getting away with. We'll get to that here in a second. Did you see the president and his speech in Poland yesterday? It was so nice and refreshing to hear him actually speak about the Western way of life in a positive way. Listen.
The same is true in Warsaw, where street signs carry the name of George Washington and a monument stands to one of the world's greatest heroes, Ronald Reagan. And so I am here today not just to visit an old ally, but to hold it up as an example for others who seek freedom and who wish to summon the courage and the will to defend our civilization.
Never would you have heard that kind of thing from Barack Obama.
No.
Never.
And it was, I listened to the speech yesterday, and I thought it was an exceptional speech. It was just, and the reason why it was so exceptional is we haven't heard this.
It's so long.
For so long.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that, you know, hey, we are worth standing up for. This is a, you know, this is a choice that people made and sacrificed to be able to have freedom. And here's Poland that has, you know, been crushed by the boots of thugs and under the gears of tanks for so long. Now they're free, and you're an example to the world of what people will do to shirk off those chains. It was really refreshing, really refreshing. So the protest at the G20,
they get a little carried away.
They do,
in Europe, don't they?
100,000 protesters
carried away
poured into the city for their "Welcome to Hell" protest. Now these are anti-capitalists. This is uber left wing.
Yeah, these are mostly communists.
By the way,
anarchists.
A lot of the stuff they're protesting there. Are the things that led to last half hour's conversation about your grocery store being incredible, and all the things that they're protesting there are very similar to this, particularly with trade. I mean, you know, the fact that you're able to get these things so cheaply is a large portion of.
You can bet that most of the protesters were drinking Nestle water when they got thirsty.
Yeah. Let me switch gears kind of, but still on the topic of the things that brought, the reason why you have things on the grocery store shelves, the free market system. Did you read that now Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have given up on their health care bill?
This is unbelievable to me.
That Republicans would join them. So now they've reached out to the Democrats and said, Democrats, help us make this more, palatable for you, so you will join us on this healthcare reform.
Yeah, they started to vilify Ted Cruz as well now, because Cruz proposed something that was kind of interesting, which was states or insurance companies can propose any and sell any healthcare plan that they want, as long as they have one plan that is okay with Obamacare, that falls through those Obamacare lines. So here you'd have the chance. People would have the opportunity to choose the Obamacare plan still. I mean, think of what a reach across the aisle that is, right? I mean, they're saying, hey, you guys can still have that. Cruz is just betting that nobody's going to choose those plans. But he's giving people the option. And, of course, even Republicans don't like that plan. They think it's, well.
Because it takes away their power.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and that's don't they understand how rapidly the world is changing? They think that they, I mean, look at the models that they are jamming us into. They're jamming us into models that were the models of the 1920s, the models of the 1950s, the models of the former Soviet Union, where it's just, while everything is being personalized, well, I can go to the store now and get my name on a Coke. Everything is personalized. What are they doing? They're saying, no, not individuals. No, we don't care about the individuals. Mass, 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 mass.
Yeah, I mean, the left is now talking very outwardly about single payer again. The thing that you were a hater if you accuse them of wanting.
No, I was not a hater. No, I was not a hater. I was a racist.
A racist.
A racist for saying what they wanted was a single payer health care plan.
Even after they admitted it, but behind closed doors, now they're admitting it in public.
Yeah.
And still, you're right. Like, they go into this one size fits all in this world is
crazy.
Idea. It's the hamburger helper of
it
of
is.
Healthcare
They're
plans.
Giving us hamburger helper, which, you know what?
I would be
fine if it was as good as hamburger helper. It's not as good as hamburger helper. And I certainly wouldn't say put everybody else out of business that has, you know, fresh ingredients. And you can buy it and tailor make it to the way you want. I certainly wouldn't do that. The days of Hamburger Helper being the box that is one size fits all is over. And same with healthcare. And yet, they don't know why so many people voted for Brexit. They don't know why the people all around Europe are rebelling. Because they're only that people want either Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, or they want freedom. One of the two, at least in the West. Give me one of those two. Give me the freedom of the individual, or go ahead and just let's get it over with. Let's fascist, Marxist, let's start racking up the numbers of deaths. Let's just start killing millions of people. Let's get to it. I prefer we go the other direction.
It's an interesting proposal.
Let's get to it.
But, I mean, aren't you kind of tired of it? You're like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You guys are going to turn into Stalin. Let's go.
Nah, let's delay it. I'm going to go with let's delay it. Yeah.
Back in just a minute, our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Ever drive up to your home and imagine closing your eyes, what your home should be like, what your home should look like, what you'd love your home to look like. One of the easiest things you can do is change the window coverings. How much did the shutters, Stu, at your house change the look at your house?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it turned from a nice, you know, okay room into like a room that you'd see in a magazine. It is that
the shutters different. Shutters make such a difference in a house. Mm-hmm. You can't even imagine.
It really is, and you know, and you have the ability to have a great bright room with the sun, and you have the ability to turn it like into a theater room in the middle of the day if you want. So it's functional. It looks amazing. I mean, and you know, Blinds.com, as you point out, did my house, and it's incredible.
Okay, so here's the best part. They tried to upsell you the whole time, didn't they?
No, they did not.
Listen to this story. This amazing story.
Of course, I put my wife in charge of picking which blinds we should put in. Stunningly, she picked the most expensive ones. In fact, on the entire website, I believe. and actually, Blinds.com. Talked to me and they said, look, we can definitely get these for you. Absolutely. But actually, you might want to try this one, which is actually a little bit cheaper, but I think actually better in quality. And that's the one we wound up going with and we're thrilled with it. I mean, it was a great choice and it actually saved us money.
So change the look of not just your room, your entire house. Blinds, shades, shutters, drapes, whatever you need. the lowest cost, best customer service. They're not going to upsell you. They're going to get the right thing for your house. You're going to be able to do it. Blinds.com, save up to 30% on select products right now. Use the promo code Beck for an additional 5% off. So you can have up to 35% off on select items right now at Blinds.com. The promo code is Beck. Make sure you use that for all of the discounts. It's promo code Beck at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Labor of Love is this this unbelievable organization of new friends that got together and just started serving and volunteering, and they won't take any funding from anybody because they want to be able to put the money together themselves, and it's about the whole sacrifice of time and finances that means something. And I have watched them grow over the last few years, and it is so unbelievable. Susan is here from Labor of Love and a good friend, and we were up in, it was Utah, wasn't it?
It was.
Not Idaho. Mm-hmm. Up in the northern part of Utah about a month ago. How many people showed up to help these people?
We had about 70 people, about a third of them children under the age of 10.
It was so great.
A lot of people.
And people came and serving just an older couple, a guy who had been in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. Sweet old couple. Their garage was falling apart. Their barn was falling apart. Their trees were overgrown. Mm-hmm. And people came out and they just served. And then there was another woman that another house, a group of volunteers, she was in a wheelchair and she had this horrible wheelchair ramp that was just falling apart that some neighbors had helped her make. She was mm-hmm. poor, but they made it out of, you know, press wood. Mm-hmm. And one winter and it wasn't faring well. Two winters and it was almost gone. And you guys just went to the Home Depot and bought all of the supplies and went and served. I joined you and it was... It's an amazing thing that you guys are doing.
It is an amazing thing when people decide not to wait for somebody else to solve problems, but just right. to get out and do it themselves.
So you're not doing that. What you're trying to do is encourage people to do just that. You don't have
That's
to
right.
go through Labor of Love. You can just join online and see like-minded people. But the encouragement is to do it yourself in your own community.
That's right.
And you have a couple of functions. We'll talk about the one you're doing this weekend here in Texas. But in August, mm-hmm. tell me what's going on.
We have two things in August. We have a Labor of Love in the Lansing, Michigan area, where we'll do something very similar to what you saw up in Utah. But this is for a woman whose son died about 5 years ago in Afghanistan. And she's felt alone. She needs to have that infusion of love and service that weekend. But one thing we're really excited about in August is a local service challenge. And you can go to Labor of Love USA on Facebook or to our website. And what we're hoping people will do is decide to do something themselves, whether they're involved today with Labor of Love or not. We want to hear about, during a two-week period, people deciding to find something in their own community that they would not normally do, whether it's volunteering, whether it's just seeing someone who needs help with their yard or their house, and just do it. And if they'll tell us about it, we'll help get the word out so other people in their community can join. And then hopefully those people will hit it off and we can maybe see this thing grow beyond what Labor of Love has been able to
do. It's amazing how many people feel really alone, mm-hmm. Like nobody cares. They just kind of crawl inside. And then when you call or somebody calls and says, hey, we want to do this for you, how mm-hmm. skeptical they are. They're really appreciative, but they don't think you're actually going to show up.
That's right. Or they think there's a catch, or they yeah. have to qualify, or they people have gotten to the point where they're skeptical about people loving and caring about them. The person that we're working with this week in Tyler, Texas, you heard about it, this on your program, Joel Inge from Kingdom Life
love
Academy.
Him. Yeah.
So he said that he was seeing these young people in middle school and coming up into high school age drop out in their hearts they would kind of tune out. And hasn't most of America done that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're tired of not seeing solutions in politics or in institutions or even in churches sometimes. And they drop out in their hearts and kind of retreat into their own space. And that is exactly the opposite, I think, of what we need to do as individuals to really see a substantial change. We need
so
to.
This guy started his own school.
He did.
It's amazing. Everybody, it's very much like Booker T. Washington's original schools that he built. You had to grow your own food.
Right.
You know, the kids go grocery shopping for their own lunches. They grow their own food, and that's. Aren't you working on the garden this
no,
week?
No, we in the spring we helped plant a 6,000 square foot garden, and they use that for the school. But this summer, while school's out of session, 2 days a week, they're giving away all the produce from the garden. We came back to help build a wood workshop to put up a building in a couple of days, and we're nearly there. A bunch of people who didn't know what we were doing with a couple people to help us have put up a building these last 2 days, and that'll be a wood workshop to help teach those skills and expand what they're doing. They capture monarch butterfly, you know, caterpillars, and they've been releasing those and having events for children and their families. And they're trying to rebuild the sense of community in an economically disadvantaged area and empowering these people to know that they can have a better and brighter future and that they can solve those problems themselves. So we want to encourage people like Joel.
Okay, so here's what we're asking. August 7th through the 21st, find somebody in your area that needs some sort of help. And it really can be really, really small. It can be like the Gold Star mother. Mm-hmm. She just has a problem with her roof, right?
That's right.
You know, all the way to roof or raising a building like they're doing this weekend. If you want to get involved, go to Labor of Love. What is it? What's the Facebook? Labor of Love USA on Facebook. Labor of Love USA on Facebook. Check it out. Get involved in your own community and come join the Labor of Love. It's an amazing program. Susan, thank you very much. Back in a minute with Bill O'Reilly.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Wow, there is so much to talk about. So much has happened this week. And the good thing is, we have the guy who is going to give it to us with no spin. Bill O'Reilly's look at the week's news begins right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, who now is making his home at BillO'Reilly.com, where you can listen to his daily podcast, which is always riveting because he's always exciting and up-tempo and upbeat and positive. Bill, how are you?
Are you reading that, Beck, or is that from the heart?
No, that is... Well, it's not from the heart. It's more from the lower regions. The heart of my bottom.
Man, Beck, come on.
So how are you, Bill?
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I got a lot of things. I'd like to hear your comments on the president's speech in Poland yesterday, which I thought was so refreshing to hear.
Well, I agree that the message was worthy and needed to be said to the Europeans on their own soil. But I thought it was a standard, I said this to my audience, I thought it was a standard political speech in the sense that if I were writing that speech, I would have singled out a few examples of where Europe is in trouble. For example, in Sweden. That country has accepted way too many refugees and migrants. They can't assimilate them. They are causing all kinds of trouble. A big rock music festival had to be canceled because they're afraid that it would get out of control in Sweden. These kinds of things would have made the speech more vivid. But I agree with you that the message needed to be said.
It was honestly, it was refreshing to hear somebody stand up for the Western way of life. We haven't heard that. You say it's standard, but I haven't heard that in 8 years. Yeah.
And the secular progressives hate it. Mm. That's what all these demonstrators are about. They hate capitalism, competition, free markets, freedom in general. These people, you know, loathe that, and they all, you know, gather together to cause trouble. It's not an anti-Trump movement. It's an anti-capitalist movement.
I got a note from a friend of mine, Michael Opelka, who does a show on the Blaze Radio, and he said in the early 90s, we debuted a play in the former Soviet Union. He and his brother wrote this play. He said, my brother came home from Russia with a woman he eventually married. My mother took Tatiana to a grocery store to show her where the local market was located. Within seconds, Tatiana was standing stunned, began crying. She could not believe what was in front of her, the products, the variety, just the vast array of food that was available to everyday citizens. We were talking last hour about Poland and about how there were, just a few years ago, 4,000 items on grocery store shelves. There are now as many as 40,000 different items on grocery store shelves. And how the West and the free market system, probably the best testament or monument to it, is the grocery store. And well, people don't get it.
You know, when I was in Berlin, when the wall came down, we were covering that story, and I was there. And when the people from East Berlin poured across into West Berlin, the first place they went to was the grocery store. And they poured into the grocery stores, and what they wanted most of all, take a guess, what food did the communist prisoners want most of all?
Kale. Hamburger helper.
Kale.
I'd say candy.
Bananas.
Mm.
Huh.
Bananas. They swarm.
It's really uninteresting.
I mean, let's just be honest here, Bill. Right, so wait a minute, hang on. If you're a prisoner behind the Iron Curtain, the highest thing you're dreaming of is a banana. That's pretty sad.
That's sad.
I just want to put this into perspective for Beck listeners. Tatiana going to the grocery store and crying is more interesting than an eyewitness report from Berlin.
And the answer to that is yes.
I think
is that what you're telling me?
I think so, Bill. I think mainly because of the way the story was told.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Next time, Bill, you need to read an email from your friend. Maybe then it'll be interesting to everybody.
My friend Kurt. I had a banana. A bubble.
All right. That was a great story, Bill, and I'm so glad.
I really appreciate it.
I will take that banana story with me to my grave. It's one of the greatest moments of airtime. All right, so let's shift gears a bit. We haven't heard your take yet on the CNN, you know, Donald Trump tweet clown show thing.
I think it is a fact now that CNN, MSNBC, the network news broadcasts, along with the progressive newspapers, have basically stopped covering the news in a fair way and have put together a program to try to destroy Donald Trump. Would everybody agree with that?
Yeah, but when will they understand that doing that is only going to strengthen Donald Trump? They're not going to release something like, because every time they come out with something, it's always like, well, this is here's a constitutional crisis for you. And everybody, America's like, okay, no, it's not. And we get it. I mean, it's coming with the package. We got it. He tweets crazy things. Whoa, what an idea.
Well, it's all about money, though. So the two liberal cable networks have increased their audience by doing We Hate Trump all the time. And there's an audience for that that comes in just to see that. So if they stop doing that, their audience goes down. So, for example, Greta Van Susteren on MSNBC did not do that, and therefore her ratings were not very good, and she got replaced. So it's about money, ideology, of course, but it's also about money. So the New York Times understands that its readership is 90% liberal, and we're going to give that readership what they want rather than giving the folks the truth. And that's where it's really shifted. So it's a combination of ideology and money. And therefore, and you're right, Trump's base basically doesn't even listen to it anymore. And they dig in to support their guy against this assault.
One last topic on the G20 with the meeting from Putin or with Putin and with everything that's happening in the United Nations. With North Korea, where are we headed towards here, Bill?
I think that the catering will be heavy on bananas at the
Well, he is in Germany, so I mean, I've heard they love their bananas
A lot of fresh fruit,
right?
All of this stuff basically is schmoozing. All right, so the G20, nobody knows what that means. It's supposed to be fostering everybody's economy and doing deals to help everybody else, but it's really a schmooze fest. The real interesting part is the Putin-Trump meeting. And Putin's got to give Trump something today. And I have predicted on BillO'Reilly.com that he'll come out, Putin will, and say, you know what, we're gonna scorn North Korea too. We don't like that. He's got to give Trump something, because if he doesn't, he's going to make an enemy out of Trump, and then he'll be the subject of tweets, all of that. I mean, you know, you don't want to be if you're Putin and your economy is terrible in Russia, which it is. You don't want to be Trump's enemy, you know. So I expect Putin to give him at least verbally something today, but the conference itself is just a schmooze fest. And, you know, they all have agendas. All countries have agendas. And they try to get a little here and a little there kind of deals and stuff like that. So that's what it's all about.
Back with BillO'Reilly.com. Do you have to say it that way? BillO'Reilly.com? Or can you just say it BillO'Reilly.com like all normal human beings?
It doesn't matter, really. It's how you're feeling it, Beck.
Really?
And now, I don't believe you are feeling
it
at
all. I am thinking of bananas right now. As I think of bananas, BillO'Reilly.com. I get it. Okay, so BillO'Reilly.com, where you can see his gear and his books and everything else, and also get his take on the news every single day. And he's launching his own TV show. At BillO'Reilly.com. And we'll continue our conversation with him here in just a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Mercury Real Estate. I want to tell you Rick's story. Rick had a 91-year-old dad who was ready to move into an assisted living home. And that left Rick with the task of selling his dad's home. Rick went to realestateagentsitrust.com, and his agent, Aaron, took this stressful situation and did everything he could to make it easier for the family. Everything from helping to clean the house to coordinating repairs for the house. Aaron's team was top-notch, and Rick got his dad's home sold on time and for the most amount of money. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. They're going to help you find a great real estate agent in your town, one whose mission really is to serve you and to make a move or a buying of a house or a selling of a house the easiest transition you could possibly have. realestateagentsitrust.com. Do it now. realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck Program, Pat, Stu, Bill O'Reilly's with us. Glenn just had a family issue he's got to resolve for a few minutes, so he should be back any minute now.
So, okay, sure.
So, Bill, what are your thoughts on the GOP seemingly caving in now and just almost admitting that they're going to bring the Democrats in on this, and we're going to go from a Democrat light bill, which it was with the Republicans anyway, to a full-on Democrat-inspired health care bill? They're just going to fix Obamacare.
Well, I think that's a message to the Republicans who are being very obstinate about compromising. And McConnell does what he always does. He's a Senate Majority Leader, of course. He says, okay, look, if you're not going to compromise with us to get at least a semblance of free market back into the healthcare system, then you're going to have to deal with Chuck Schumer and these guys who are going to socialize it up, and we're going to have something really a lot worse. So that's the play. You know, look, it's a very complicated thing, obviously. A lot of people are confused about it. And I think the big thing is that the Republicans have got to get something on the board. And if they don't, they risk losing the Senate in 2018. And because the people are waiting for some kind of accomplishment. We need a tax cut. We need new health care.
We got nothing.
Jobs report today, you know, very good jobs report. Trump should be running around screaming about that. The economy's getting better. I think psychologically, big business likes Trump's free marketplace philosophy. But, you know, we got to get, we as a country have to get stuff passed, and right now it's not happening.
As a general philosophy, Bill, do you think it's okay to take these baby steps? Maybe you get a little bit out of this health care bill, or do you think
you have to? Because the constituencies are so varied, you know, that you have to do that. And with the danger of Obamacare, and then you have the insurance companies just saying, we're not going to issue any policies to Americans. Well, what's going to happen is that there are going to be a lot of people not going to be able to buy health insurance. And then you're really in trouble. So you have to basically stabilize first and then build on that.
Why is it, though, and maybe it's just the way it feels to me, but it seems like it's always when we have the executive branch, or Republicans have the executive, they have the Senate, they have the House. When Democrats are in that position, they never take baby steps. They get Obamacare done. When the Republicans are in the majority and have the White House, we have to do baby steps. Why is that?
That's an excellent question. The Democratic Party is run now by the progressive left, which has intimidated moderate Democrats. All but one, Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia. He seems to be the only one who will look at things and come up with a problem-solving idea. So whatever it is inside the Democratic hierarchy, the Democrats are afraid of their leadership. The Republicans are not. They're not afraid of Ryan or of McConnell. And so very conservative Republicans say, look, we're just not going to go along with it because we want X, Y, and Z. There isn't the fear that there is in the Democratic side. Democrats vote block. I mean, can you believe that case law might go down in the Senate? A law that is so badly needed and would protect all Americans and even immigrants and illegal aliens, everybody would be protected. And the Democratic Party is going to vote en bloc against it in the Senate? It's insane, but they are fearful because if they go against the hierarchy, they'll cut their money off, all right? The PACs control all of the money going to people running for re-election in the Senate and the House, and then they'll launch a primary. You know, if you're a moderate Democrat, the progressive leadership will put somebody up against you, a far-left person up against you, and fund them. And these people are scared to death of that. So that's why the Democratic Party votes en bloc, whereas the Republicans don't.
I mean, the border is a good example of this, too, because it seems like a constant letdown by Republicans when they get into power. Healthcare sort of feels this way as well. And I think what's frustrating to a lot of people, Bill, is that a lot of the people now who are saying we can't get a full repeal, we can't have a much more aggressive free market healthcare plan. We have to settle for this because we have a bunch of varying constituencies, which I understand. That's a very valid point. However, these same people, when they knew Barack Obama would veto it, did vote for stronger things. They acted as if they wanted those things when they knew it wouldn't pass. And that, I think, is what makes people so cynical about politics.
Well, people are furious in both parties. They're angry that, you know, we have a dynamic country that our leadership in Washington is basically blunting, you know, and that's, you know, whether you like Trump or not, Trump basically rises above that and says, look, we're going to do X, Y, and Z on immigration. So what happens? Well, people don't come here now. I mean, there's a series of articles, even in the liberal press, where the Central Americans and Mexicans are saying, I'm not even going to bother. It's too expensive to do it, too dangerous to do it. And then if I get caught, I'm going to get shipped right back. So that the crossings on the southern border are way down. Not because of any legislation, not because of a wall, because that wall hasn't been built yet. Mm-hmm. It's because of the perception that Trump is going to send us back. So that's the kind of leadership that is appealing to many Americans and why Trump won. But the gridlock in Washington, my God, they don't get anything done. You can't get Kate's law done.
Yeah.
You can't get that.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's infuriating. The money dictates what these people do.
How do you expect the G20 negotiations to affect the global banana trade?
I think the banana trade after this show, the Glenn Beck show,
it's going to be huge, right?
He was insincere about bananas. Right?
He was kind of insincere.
Yeah. Skyrocket. There's a lot of potassium involved, and we know that. All right. Now, the global warming people don't like potassium because it can impact, you know, and make things a little warmer. But I still think that the banana trade is going to go through the roof as this program spans the globe.
You really can do a monologue about anything,
can't you?
That's impressive.
Give me a topic, I can do five on it, no matter what you want.
Would you come back on the other side, Bill? I would love to get your take on Chris Christie this week. What his future could possibly be, and his wonderful
diver.
Yeah, it's about as aggressive as it should be. 888-727 back. Bill O'Reilly is with us. Glenn is going to be back here in just a couple of minutes to talk about Chris Christie, who may be the least popular governor in American history, according to polling.
At least who hasn't committed a major felony, right?
At least, yeah, that's the way it's going to turn out.
Pretty amazing.
Back with Bill here in just a second. 888-727 back is our phone number.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Back with the one and only, the legend is on mine, Bill O'Reilly.
The what?
Bill
O'Reilly.
What?
I didn't hear.
I said a legend.
Yes.
In his own mind. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, who I don't appreciate the fact that he was on my program just a few minutes ago saying that I didn't take the seizure of bananas by the oppressed as a riveting, riveting story, and somehow I was belittling bananas, the banana industry, and the need, desire, and just craven want of bananas by the oppressed.
You did take umbrage to that?
I took a little umbrage to that. Bill O'Reilly, welcome back to the program. A couple of things. First of all, I heard you talk about the border wall here just a second ago. Do you think that a border wall is still going to happen?
Somewhat. It's not going to be a full border wall, but they will put in, a high-tech situation in various sectors that they believe.
Without any movement on this now, with the trouble that he is having, does this happen as something that he can run on and say, see, I told you I was building a wall, and I have broken ground on a lot of the wall? Or is this, I need these guys, in the Senate to help me to get started?
No, I don't think so. Just today over in Europe, he said that the once again that Mexico is going to pay for the wall. he's going to do something.
Okay.
He can do it by executive order.
Okay. All right.
But there won't be a big, beautiful 40-foot wall with a beautiful door in it.
There's going to be a big, you know, like, for example, in Texas where you live in the Big Bend National Park, you're not going to have a wall there.
No.
It's very hard to get through and all of that. You don't need it. But, you know, in places like Bisbee, Arizona, where, you know, there's a lot of trouble, then you'll see, you know, the thing go up. So it's more of a symbolic thing than anything else.
It's quite an admission, though. I mean, we're not even 6 months into this thing, and this is his signature issue. And it doesn't seem like anyone actually believes he's going to build this thing at this point. And not even Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
But the signature issue is really the economy. I mean, that's really what it's all about. So if the economy gets better and people are making more money and they feel more secure, they're going to give him a pass on some of the other things as long as the intent is there. And that's what's going on.
Okay. Let me switch gears and talk about a couple of other things. First of all, the beached whale story that happened over the weekend. I confuse that with the other story, Chris Christie in New Jersey.
Why do you confuse that with the Chris Christie story? That's weird.
It's beach related.
He is the most unpopular governor in America now, and that's saying something. There's only three people. Or is he number three at the bottom?
He's number four right now, the least popular governor poll, as far as polling has ever shown. And that is ahead of him. First of all, he's at 15%. That was taken before the beach incident. So I would assume that's going to drop. The only governors ahead of him, 2006, Frank Murkowski in Alaska at 14%. He named his daughter to be senator. So that was not a popular move. 2008, Rod Blagojevich. Went to 8%. Obviously, he's in prison.
Yeah, he also went to prison.
And 2005, also a criminal charges against Bob Taft in Ohio. He came in at 7%.
So what happened with Chris Christie?
Well, Christie's play is this. He knows that he's not going to do public service ever again. This is what I believe. All right, so he's out of the public service business. So what business does he want to get into beside importing bananas? he wants to get into the media business, right? Mm. That's what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been all kinds of rumors in the New York area that he wants to do sports radio, radio talk, that kind of thing. So what better way to get his name out there as a controversial guy than to go to his lavish beach home, as the state of New Jersey provides their governors, when the all the other beaches are closed because the state couldn't pass a budget. So he's the only one on the beach, and then he allows himself to be photographed in a lounge chair with his grin on his face. He knows what he's doing. He's engendering controversy to get his name out there so he'll get some kind of media play.
But that's not a guy that... I mean, I'm not excited to tune in the guy who just gave his state the shaft. I mean, it's not like, oh man, I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
He goes to sports, and he could go to news too on the radio. I don't think he could do TV.
Are you fat-shaming?
He'll get a sampling back. He will. I mean, people around here will tune him in.
I think you're right. On politics, you know, radio is so heavily right, and Chris Christie has almost zero credibility with the right, which is amazing because he went from...
He'll go in and he'll shake it, you know. That's what he's angling for. And I think he's going to get some kind of media contract. I do.
That's amazing. I mean, because he doesn't really align with us policy-wise, but for fat TV hosts that are male, this is a place for them at the place. Yeah. I mean, there really is.
Yeah, we're all fat here.
Maybe you want to use the word Zoftig instead of, you know, fat's a little blunt.
Are we getting a word of the day?
I think we are.
Zoftig?
I've never heard of Zoftig.
Use it in a sentence.
It's a German-based word, Beck. I picked it up when I was in Berlin.
Huh. With the bananas.
Or maybe bananas. Rotund.
Yeah, rotund, I know. Okay. Rubenesque is another one. But Zoftig is... is not a pretty word. Let's switch gears to the baby in England, 11 months old, national health care. They want to pull the plug. We're waiting for the, you know, English version of the Supreme Court to give the final ruling on whether they pull the plug on this baby. The baby has already been accepted to a hospital here in America, in New York. The Vatican has offered to take the baby at their Bambino hospital. In fact, the Pope yesterday said they will issue the family a Vatican passport so the baby can be taken out of the hospital and make them Vatican citizens. What do you think is about this story?
Well, I think the British authorities would be insane not to allow the Vatican to take the baby and treat the baby. And, you know, Trump has weighed in, said we'll take the baby here in the USA. And there'll be enough people, of course, to donate money to pay the bills and stuff like that. So if the British government, you know, says, no, we're going to allow the baby to die, that's going to be an enormously big story that's going to be really bad for the UK. So I don't believe they'll do it. But I'd like to see them cooperate with the Vatican on that, on a life issue like that.
So what's amazing, if you haven't followed the story, go to charliesfight.org, charliesfight.org. I think this is a battle for more than just the Western way of life. This is a battle, Bill, that is a bellwether on our humanity as the West.
Well, it certainly goes right into the euthanasia and abortion debate. And but, you know, clear-thinking human beings will say, look, if the baby is going to be treated, let the process play out. You know, why would you want to abort the process? So, yeah, you're right. I mean, these crazy, insane choice people, not everybody is at that level, who just say, you know, euthanasia, fine, whatever you want to do, fine. The state of Oregon, totally out of control, no limits on abortion. You can do whatever you want for whatever reason. There's nothing stopping or protecting the fetus, the unborn. We reach a point in a moral conversation where you can't defend these kinds of actions. And the UK could not defend not allowing that baby every opportunity and its family.
So, Bill, where do you – this is the Slate magazine came out immediately and said, the right's going to make this into death panels.
Of course.
And that's what this is. This is a death panel.
Sure. It would be the state ruling that this baby – doesn't have the right to treatment.
Yeah, to eat up more resources.
Yeah, to treatment.
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that. Even though the baby is now has an opportunity to go away from the UK so that they don't have to deal with the situation any longer. So that's why I'm saying that the British aren't stupid. They're not going to do that.
So if you have, can we just noodle this out for a second? If you have socialized medicine, and you know, you're going to have to ration medicine, which they are. They're so far in debt with their nationalized medicine over in Great Britain, it's killing them. And they have to ration the care. So if you're rationing the care, you have to make those decisions that says this is not worth the investment because the odds of survival are so low. What makes that argue from a logical point of view to a liberal that says, well, yeah, but why should this baby have a chance because they have wealth or access to money, but nobody else's baby has that chance? We have to even the playing field and everybody has to have a fair shake.
Well, when you're talking about life and death, there isn't a matter of a comparative matter. It's a matter of if you can save the baby or you can elongate the baby's life, you do it. And economics shouldn't enter into it. I don't believe in socialized medicine. I lived in England for a year. I know that there's a backup. I know that In Canada, for example, you have to wait for complicated surgery, which is why thousands of Canadians come to the United States for it. So that kind of the government makes calls to shots on life and death. That is not compatible with my view of life. And I think most people in America would say the same thing. We just don't want that. We don't want the government saying who lives and who dies because of money.
Did you read the Pope's actual statement?
I did not read it.
You should, Bill. As a Catholic, I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. Because he didn't say, he said, you know, this is a very complicated matter, which it's really not. It's not complex. The money is there. The baby has been offered treatment elsewhere. It's not complex at all. But he was not John Paul, who would have come out and had come out and said, you know, that big state making decisions for families is not right, and the family needs to be empowered, and all life is sacred. He didn't use any of that language. He said it was a complicated matter. He understood, and we shouldn't reject the state being involved, basically saying, you know, we need to understand that parents sometimes have a hard time with these decisions and shouldn't be left alone. It was a really treading the line kind of statement.
All right, but he made the offer.
Yes.
So that's number one. And he is a different guy. He's not doctrinaire. He tries to get as many people as possible into his outlook or his point of view. And he doesn't like to make judgments about certain things because then he believes that alienates people and cuts off the conversation. So I'm a big action speak louder than words guy. And I applaud what the Vatican is doing. I hope the UK takes their offer and sends the family to Rome and let the life process play out there. And that would be a huge win for not only the family and the baby, but for the cause of life. And so that's what I hope happens.
BillO'Reilly.com. BillO'Reilly.com is the website where you can hear Bill every single day. You launch maybe this fall with a new TV show?
We're not sure yet what we're going to do with the TV thing. It's complicated, but we're certainly going to upgrade the BillO'Reilly.com. And I loved how you said it this time, as opposed to the beginning of the interview when I didn't feel the sincerity.
No.
I didn't.
When I say BillO'Reilly.com, I mean it. When I say BillO'Reilly.com, I don't feel it. It's not the same.
Right. In fact, I want you to read Legends and Lies of Civil War because you need some relaxation. You need to get away.
And there's nothing like a good Civil War book that will do that.
That's right. I know you're a history buff. Yeah. I know you like to learn and accumulate knowledge.
Yes. Bill O'Reilly's got, really, I was in a bookstore, and it's shameful how many books he has. but they're all great, and great for your kids as well. History at BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill. Talk to you next week.
All right, Beck. We'll talk to him. Thank you.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Wow.
Sounds familiar.
241 years ago, and it is still absolutely brilliant. The laws of nature and of nature's God still entitle us to life and protection. It's the one thing that England doesn't have, and we do. The USCCA knows that in today's unpredictable world, self-defense is more of a necessity than ever, and they are the first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. They're also giving you an exclusive opportunity to win big right now. The Great American Giveaway, go to protectanddefend.com. Get 5 chances to win the gun of your choice and the ammo. It's protectanddefend.com. Go there now, protectanddefend.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so we had a call from Chip and Joanna Gaines' attorney a couple of weeks ago, and we thought, uh-oh, Do we do something wrong? No. There's a lot of celebrities that are being really, really wronged by something. We want to tell you this story.
Just flat out lies.
Yeah, we want to tell you this story coming up in just a second.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to Friday. We are so glad that you have tuned in today. There was a commercial that, or an ad that was running on The Blaze, and I saw it, and it wasn't a direct advertiser. It's one of these things, it's complicated to say, but basically, an ad agency represents, you know, all of these different people. And so you sign on with the ad agency, and then the ad agency just runs whatever ad. Well, there's this ad that was running, and it was about a new face cream. And the headline on the ad was, Joanna Gaines leaves the show, and Chip didn't even know why. And I'm like, what the hell is Chip and Joanna Gaines? What is this? The lies in this are so amazing. I immediately called our sales manager and said, cancel this. What is this? How can they possibly get away with a lie? And actually, I said, I don't mind if they sell face cream, but not with lies. Well, when they said, wait a minute, you're telling us that we have to change our ad copy? Yes, it can't be a lie. They canceled. That's $250,000 account.
A month, right?
Yeah, a month. And yeah. You see this ad everywhere because people don't care.
Yep.
I happen to care. But it's really hard, especially for conservatives who have been blocked out of almost everything, to walk away from $250,000 a month. That's a lot of money, obviously. So we've been talking, how does this company get away with this? Well, when I told this story on the air the first day, Chip and Joanna Gaines' attorney called and said, we want to talk to you about that ad. And we immediately said, we had nothing to do with it. We didn't even know that's what the ad was until it popped up and we canceled it. They said, yeah, we really would like this ad to stop.
Yeah.
Can you help us at all? And so I hope that we are, assisting them in every possible way, because I love these two. And I think what's happening to people, because this is not just happening to Chip and Joanna Gaines, this is happening to a ton of celebrities. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the legal recourse is. How can that ad run? We have one of the best attorneys on the phone with us to answer this question. And we begin right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, let's just read the first paragraph of this ad. Here it is.
It's like you said, this is everywhere. It's all over the internet. But it starts out by saying, it all started last November when Joanna Gaines, host of the popular HGTV show Fixer Upper, signed a deal with Shark Tank's Lori Greiner. It didn't happen. The deal states,
there's lie number one,
that Joanna's new cosmetics line, there isn't one.
Lie number two.
Will be picked up and promoted by the shopping channel QVC.
No. Not true.
Joanna is very proud of her line.
Lie number four.
She has been quoted as saying, they're attributing quotes here. This is more than just a beauty line. This is what every woman has been dreaming of for most of her adult life.
Lie number five.
The problem is HGTV and QVC are rival competitors.
actually now currently a lie as of today. As
right, it just
was,
sold.
Was it a QVC? What was the
QVC just bought HSN, the home shopping
for
network.
$2.1 billion.
Yeah,
yeah. Wow. A couple dollars.
There is a clause in Joanna's HGTV contract that clearly says she's forbidden from promoting or doing business with any other channel or media company. Now that's
probably
true. It was later discovered. Not even her husband, Chip, knew that she was what she was constructing in the background.
Now you're
starting to get into their relationship.
Into their relationship. And when I read that, I was like, no way.
They
no
go so
way.
Far as to say when her hidden secret surfaced, it caused a rift in their marriage.
Okay, so that Jeez. Does damage. That wow. does damage to yeah. their image.
Right.
I mean, I like them because they're such a great family and such a great couple.
You're talking libel now.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrible. So now we're up to lie 7.
Because of this, HGTV has decided to let him carry on the show by himself without her. Lie 8. Number 8 in one paragraph.
Okay, that's one paragraph. There are more lies to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot figure out, because this is not just happening to them. This is happening to, I saw Stephen Hawking and Anderson Cooper are taking a new brain drug that makes them super
really?
Smart.
Yeah. Oh,
that's been
around. Yes. There's another one involving Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And they're having some kind of feud, and they're selling a product
with
this.
My free bottles haven't arrived yet.
Mike Gregel is truly, he has a national practice on media law, emphasis on defending news and entertainment organizations from news gathering to public related claims, including defamation, copyright infringement, invasion of privacy matters. He is one of the best attorneys in America. When companies see him coming and his firm coming, they realize, holy crap, we have the big dogs coming after us. He is my attorney, and just I can't speak highly enough about him. So we called him up and we asked him, how do they get away with this? Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Glenn, and thank you very much for your kind words. They're much appreciated. Well, the answer to the examples you've raised on the air is that they really are unlawful, and the law has long recognized what's known as the right of publicity. And really what that boils down to is each individual person has a legally protectable interest in their name, their image, their likeness, and their voice. So for example, if I'm selling cars or a product or a service in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, I could not take a picture of Glenn Beck and put it up on a billboard for passing motorists to see where you're touting the product or the service, unless I had your express written authorization to do that. And the reason is obvious, is that you have a recognizable brand value, an identity that has commercial value in the marketplace, and you and you alone should be able to control the dissemination of your image for commercial marketing purposes, and you should be able to collect and monetize that. You know, typically, of course, this occurs with celebrities and people whose identities have recognized market value, although in most jurisdictions, no one could do that to, say, me either, although I obviously do not have a recognized marketability factor or quotient in my own persona.
So hang on, Mike. So here's the thing. I have seen these everywhere. And, you know, when I first saw the one about the brain drug, I wrote to Anderson and I'm like, oh, so that's what it is, huh? And he was like, these are so obnoxious. Joanna and Chip, they called our office and said, we're trying to track these people down because they keep just shuttering their business. And I guess they'll shutter it and then open it up. And somehow or another, they're getting away with it. And I don't know why. And on top of it, institutions like me, like glennbeck.com or The Blaze, we took this ad unbeknownst to us because it was just in a service that you buy the service and then they fill the ads with what they're selling. When I saw it, we took it down. It cost us a fortune to lose that. And Everyone else is taking it. So there's money being made by the people that are doing the face cream. There's money being made by all the media outlets that are taking this. There's money being made by the agencies that are representing this. And they know that there's somehow or another a game being played, and all the celebrities are that are involved don't want to spend the money trying to track these guys down, because there's obviously not deep pockets, or the pockets are so well protected in shell companies that there's nothing to go and get. How do you stop it?
Well, that's really a difficult question, and I think you're putting your finger on the real problem, Glenn, today for most celebrities who do have recognized commercial value and appeal in their persona. With the proliferation of these examples on the internet, it's very difficult to monitor for first thing. And then if you are able to discover these types of things, it's an expensive proposition sometimes because they're all over the place. So most of the time, if you're able to identify a truly unauthorized ad where somebody is using your image and your likeness for a commercial purpose that you have not consented to or authorized, you can go to court, get an injunction whereby the court would order the person who is displaying this, a URL site or a website or something, to cease and desist from continuing to publish the ad. As you correctly point out, however, that can be a not expensive and sometimes inconvenient proposition.
Well,
and it doesn't fully answer the whack-a-mole problem. Once you get one of them down, it pops up again someplace else.
So that's what I want to concentrate on that for a second. What they do, I'm sure, and I don't know the case of this company, but what it appears to be is, you know, they'll just make a quick 501c3 or whatever. Is that the right thing? Yeah, a corporation, an S-corp. And they'll just make a quick S-corp and a shell corporation of some sort. They'll put limited resources in it. They'll buy it, but they won't keep any money in it. And then if you sue that company, there's nothing really to win. And the people just leave to go do it again under some other company name in some other way. How do you get to the people when you know their intent is bad? You know, you want that.
Sure.
You want that protection from a corporation in some cases. But when you have really bad guys using the system, is there anything to get to the actual perpetrators?
Well, it can be really difficult. And I had a case a few years ago for a very prominent professional athlete, a tennis player. And his name and image was being used to promote a rather unsavory product. And he in no way authorized this. He did not want the association with his identity in the market because he felt that it devalued his own sponsorship abilities. And we ended up tracking this down, and it was some company offshore, you know, down in the Cayman Islands. And thankfully, we were able to get the ad shut down on the website because we went back, we got a court order and went to internet service providers like Google and said, you can't display this anymore. But being able to recover actual financial damages from the perpetrators is extraordinarily impractical and very unlikely.
So, Mike, let me just ask you a off-the-wall question. And you know me, I don't need another project, and I just don't need more hassles in my life. But this is something that really bothers me, because when I saw it on The Blaze, if we don't have a way to say to agencies, you cannot lie, these things are just going to keep coming through and slipping through the cracks, and it hurts my credibility as a news organization.
Sure.
Most people don't care. And it also bothers me that people like Chip and Joanna, if people don't say anything and try to help these guys and the Tom Brady's and LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Anderson Cooper and even Stephen Hawking, the next people will be us. And is there a way, would you be interested in seeing if we reached out to all these people? I would like to, as a media company, just be a part of something that is trying to enforce truth in advertising. Is it possible? Would it help if everybody got together and tried to stop it?
Well, I think there's always strength in numbers. I think there is a threshold obligation here to Glenn on the part of the advertising agency. They should have some upfront ability to determine before placing an ad.
They didn't care.
That it's authentic and it's real. Because otherwise, once the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak, it's just very, very difficult to prevent this type of thing from spiraling out of control on the internet. And then once it's out there on all these websites, it's difficult to get it back in.
Mike, if you would do me a favor, just noodle this for a second, and maybe I'll call you or we can touch base in the next week or so. I would like to reach out to these people and see if there's any interest in working together. And I don't want to lead it or anything else, but you are so good. And if it's not you, maybe you know who is, that somebody can make a dent. Because if it is the advertiser, we have to go after the ad agencies. Somebody needs to protect the truth.
Yeah, there should be accountability here, and in substantial measure, as often happens with technology, sometimes things outstrip or outpace the ability of the legal system to provide an effective remedy.
Yeah.
And here I think it's probably a situation that merits consideration from those that are involved, because for someone who has really worked hard, achieved success, to be associated with an unauthorized product or service that may actually be disreputable obviously cause damage to that person's market value and reputation. And the legal system should be able to find a way to stop that sort of thing from happening.
Mike Riegel, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. My attorney on First Amendment and speech and investigative issues, Mike Riegel, is just fantastic. Now this, by the way, Chip and Joanna, we love you want to help you any way we possibly can. Now this, staggering casualties. That's what we risk with the most limited strike on North Korea. Jim Mattis said, probably be the worst kind of fighting in most people's lifetimes. We're talking about possibly millions of dead. I spoke to somebody yesterday about it, and I said, you know, what do we do? And they said, even if we do a limited strike and just try to take out the head of state there, he can launch his first strike, could kill 200,000 people.
Wow.
And that's with conventional weapons.
I've heard that if he gets a one tube of facial cream, he will withdraw all of his threats against the United States.
That may be. Anyway.
Yeah. Pretty big.
I want you to know that the world is on the edge and nothing is secure. There is no one who will say, I promise you, a year from now, you'll at least have the same amount of money. The only investment that will make that claim is gold from Goldline, Goldline only. And for as little as $2,500, you will get 3 months of price protection. So if gold goes down over the next 3 months, they will make up the difference at the end of 3 months.
Who does that?
Nobody does that. Imagine doing that with a stock. I want to guarantee that a stock, if it's not the same price, you make it up with more stock. Nobody does that. If you spend $25,000 and put that, take it out of your IRA or your 401k, and move it into gold, physical gold that you have, $25,000 in a year from now, if it's down, they'll make it up. That's incredible. Call Goldline now. Read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. Nobody else takes care of their customers. The ones who are really concerned about the fragile nature of our economy, like Goldline, call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Do it now.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Stream the show live on iHeartRadio or listen later on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music.
Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
There's, you know, talking about this thing with Chip and Joanna Gaines and, you know, this face cream thing, which is absolute nonsense, and you should tell everybody you know don't fall into the trap of that face cream stuff. This stuff has been going on for a long time. You heard the latest about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. They found the Sally Hemings house supposedly on the premises of Monticello. And
every time that comes up, they perpetrate the lie.
Okay.
Every time.
This time, they were quoting the newspaper that said, you know, right. Joe Blow said back then that, you know, in the newspaper that he had several children with Sally Hemings. Okay, that was known as a lie,
political lie yeah.
during a campaign at the time.
It's every bit as legitimate as John Adams is a hermaphrodite.
Right.
And the face cream thing.
Yes.
They're all bogus.
Right.
It's not true.
That was a lie about John Adams, that he was a hermaphrodite. He wasn't. It was a political lie at the time. Was it in the paper? Yes. But so is the Garth Brooks juice diet. That didn't work either in the paper.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah. It is the final weekend for the stew thing, the wonderful
This is the
stew
last show.
Show?
Oh, the last
show. The last of the
show
season.
Of the season.
Last of the season.
Season finale tonight.
I have binged on all of these.
They're great to binge on. They are.
I've caught up to them now, and I've mm-hmm. seen. Oh,
you've seen every.
Oh my!
You could describe in pretty great detail then.
Yeah. What I don't know is how the guy who's the head butler in this show is going to save his marriage, even though they think that maybe he killed a man.
Sure. You might be on another show, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Wonderful World of Stew.
There's no butler.
Provides insightful, entertaining commentary about important issues that matter to you.
So what are you covering tonight, Stew? Final episode.
First of all, we're going to amend the Constitution briefly. Okay. Well, we're going to get that done.
I fully support this.
Pat is a supporter of this.
Yes.
We're going to get some people to sign on to this. I want actual politicians. I think I can send letters out to every senator and congressman to support my one person, one bathroom constitutional amendment.
It's important.
It is important. We always talk about, what person should go into what bathroom? How about, I don't know, you're just in the bathroom by yourself.
Yeah.
How about that for an option?
It's year 2017. Here. Yeah. We don't need to have shared bathrooms anymore.
So the problem would be that almost every office would have to have a whole floor of just bathrooms.
It's not true. The amount of bathrooms would not need to change. Because
what needs to change is walling off
the
toilets. That's all you have to do.
And not, by the way, these little walls they put in between stalls now that are like from like for some reason thigh level to stomach level. Make them go to the ceiling and the floor. That's what walls are supposed to do.
Regulations cost and business.
Could I get
money.
A drink cup though for the bathroom stall?
You want a drink like a cup holder?
Yeah. Did I tell you this story?
No.
Okay. So I was in Vegas and we were in this shady old part of Vegas, and we're at this. I don't want to say which one it was, but one of the older, you know, Frank Sinatra kind of places. And it's kind of gone downhill a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And all of us, we went and we had lunch there, and so we're getting ready to leave, and everybody has to go to the bathroom, but everybody's like, I don't know if I want to go to the bathroom here. And I'm like, guys, we just ate here. You don't want to go to the bathroom here. That's a problem. So we go in, and I'm standing there and, taking care of some business. And I'm looking at the side of the stall, and there's this little thing, and I can't figure out what it is. And then I notice that it has an indentation the size of a cup, and I realize it's an actual cup holder. So if you're coming in with your beer, I just stand there and put the cup holder right next to the toilet.
That's smart,
which is very appealing.
I will say, as probably the only one in this room who has been in the scenario where they're stumbling around a casino and have with a drink, you are very thankful for the place.
Yes,
where you
I just would have thought it should be up higher. Maybe
yes, I would agree.
Maybe
with that.
On the other side of the wall.
That's why I go to classy casinos.
No. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
The classy casinos have the drink holder in the toilet a little bit higher. That's how you know you're in a good place.
It was just like, woo. Okay, good.
I will say that there might not be any Vegas trips for you in the future, considering what else is happening on The Wonderful World of Stew this weekend. Liberal radio, TV icon Garth Bunk has an expose on you.
On
and
me.
And your little transition that people just suddenly are believing that you've gone from Mr. Hater to Mr. Lovable. You're the nicest guy in the world, getting along with everybody these days. Yeah. Well, Garth Bunk has some material that would show the Garth true Bunk. Glenn Beck, and that's on tonight as
Garth
well.
Garth Bunk, if you haven't seen the Garth Bunk show, you have really missed out. That's tonight on The Wonderful World of Stew.
Skating.
All right. Can we go to the sports desk now?
We've
even got music.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's intense.
Right to the desk.
Yeah, that's really intense. We're going to talk about a little of everything, all the way down to badminton, because we like the birds over the net and the birds that are in the stands. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And since we're coming off bathroom talk, maybe we should start with the 30 for 30 documentary on the decathlon that just came out. ESPN has a great series of documentaries called 30 for 30. They just launched a podcast for documentaries on that topic by the same people that are producing them. And they tell great stories from sports history. They're really well done. Pat and I both really love them.
They're great.
Yeah. But I listened to the first one, which was about Dan and Dave. Do you remember Dan and Dave in the 90s? It was a huge
decathletes,
ad campaign.
They're expected to win the gold and silver, maybe even, for the United States in the Olympics.
In 1992 in Barcelona. So Reebok, which at the time was not a big shoe brand, they were just kind of like not really even competitors with Nike. We're trying to raise their profile. Dumped $25 million into this ad campaign for these two guys that no one had ever heard of and kind of build a rivalry leading up to the Olympics. Well, the whole story is, I mean, it's a great story because they dumped all this money in and it really didn't work out. Although it maybe there are parts of it that did, and the documentary really covers all the ins and outs of it. But this, so when you're talking decathlon, you're talking Olympics, you're talking Bruce Jenner, though. Right. Mm-hmm. Bruce Jenner is the guy when you're talking about this event in American history. He in 1976, you know, he's the guy.
He was on Wheaties boxes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a household name. He was a major brand in and of himself. I mean, he was an American hero.
And I don't care.
Notice the way we're even talking about this. Mm-hmm. We are discussing Bruce Jenner as if he's dead.
Yeah, it was.
He was a household name.
Yeah.
So the Bruce Jenner that we grew up with is dead. Mm-hmm. He has been reborn as Caitlyn. To be able to talk about him as a man, it has to be past tense.
Right. So, but when you're talking about him in that past tense, even if you are a person who says, I'm calling her Caitlyn now, and you're fully on board with that, you still refer to him as Bruce when you're talking about 1976,
yes,
right?
Yes, you have to.
And that's what they did. This is either Dan or Dave. I'm not sure.
Do you know which one?
I remember eating lunch with Bruce Jenner, and Bruce kept telling me,
Bruce.
Only thing people are going to remember is the Olympic Games. And I thought to myself, man, this guy's crazy.
This guy called him Bruce, this man.
Wait a minute. Wow. Are we saying that he's in trouble for this?
Well, listen. So there's another clip. This is, I think we have Dave as well talking about this, Pat.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. Jackie Joyner Kersee made the comment that I could be the next Bruce Jenner. And that was what I was striving to do. You know, most of my career, he was the hero that we all needed in 1976, and he was the golden boy.
This is all accurate.
Golden boy, right? Hero.
This is all accurate. Yes. This is all accurate.
That's how you would do it, right?
Yes.
When you're even if you're completely on board.
Gosh. Now here comes ESPN.
Here comes ESPN.
This is how they started the podcast.
It's the story of a 1992 Reebok ad campaign 25 years ago this summer, unlike anything anyone had seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Reebok spent some $25 million on the campaign, featuring two top decathletes, a sum equal to their entire previous year's marketing budget. Those who remember the story remember it as a bust, but there are many more twists and turns along the way for Reebok, the two athletes, and the sport of track and field.
All right, I'm ready.
One note, this episode features references to legendary decathlete Caitlyn Jenner.
Wait, what? Legendary athlete? There is no legendary decathlete Caitlyn Jenner. Look it up.
You're not going to see the name.
You're not going to see it. No.
First to be referred to as Bruce in regards to her decathlon career.
Okay.
Wait.
In regards to her
decathlon career.
She prefers
to be referred to as Bruce. So they put a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast to tell you that they're calling him Bruce when he was Bruce. However, even when Bruce or Caitlin now says he wants to be referred to as Bruce, they still feel the need to tell you that it's Caitlin, and Caitlin was the famous decathlete from the 1970s.
Now, unbelievable.
We're rewriting history.
Caitlin is not in the record books.
No.
In U.S. history. You're not going to find it.
There is no legendary decathlete named Caitlin Jenner.
Secondarily,
there just isn't one.
If Bruce Jenner was a woman in 1976, which is what we're supposed to believe, we should strip the medals away from Bruce Jenner because Caitlin was performing in the wrong division. This is absolutely false advertising by her, right? Mm. If Caitlin Jenner was actually Bruce at the time and was a woman, that would be against Olympic rules to compete in that division.
The truth is it was a man, of course. ESPN is ludicrous.
ESPN
They're ludicrous.
Has gone, and it's the Disney mentality. They've just gone nuts.
I mean, I can understand. Like, if you want to be on board and say, hey, it's Caitlin now, and I'm going to call her a her, and whatever she wants, we're going to do. But to change history and say there was a legendary decathlete named Caitlin Jenner is just ridiculous.
I don't have a problem with the disclaimer just because of all the people who take it upon themselves to say, I'm going to be the Sentinel and the Guardian, you know, for Caitlin.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the deal. It says, hey, this story involves now Caitlin Jenner, who prefers to be called Bruce for this time period of his life. And then leave it at that. But what they did is they're being the guardians and basically saying, hey, we all have to accept him as her now because that's what he prefers. But she also prefers to be called him for this time period. But we're not going to listen to that because we know better.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I would say they're actually saying Bruce is wrong.
Yes, they are.
They are. That's how it comes off.
Their bigotry is showing here.
They
are not about, oh, let's celebrate our diversity and let's celebrate how each of us can can make our own way and decide who we are. No, she just asked for you to call her him for this time period. Now it's complex, but it's not that complex. You're saying she is wrong. She was always a she and never a him, no matter what he says.
And Caitlin was a legendary athlete.
Don't you ever call him when it's a her because of his choice to be her.
Because I think you can take it as they put the disclaimer in to push aside liberal complaints.
Yes, I agree.
About it. You can say that. However, the way they phrase it. No,
the disclaimer is fine, but he starts with this includes Caitlin,
legendary decathlon,
Caitlin Jenner. That's in violation of what he just asked you to do.
Right. So I think they're covering their butts for other transgendered persons who don't feel the way Caitlyn Jenner does.
Aren't we supposed to celebrate diversity?
No. Absolutely not.
Are we supposed to celebrate what you want to do as an individual?
No.
It exposes that as an absolute lie and exposes ESPN as nothing but cowards. Just cowards. This is not the only one, though. Have you seen the ad? I don't even know who is running it.
NCAA is running it.
Are we talking about the same ad where they're saying
the gender thing?
Yeah. Gender doesn't play sports.
Yeah, listen to this.
Listen to this.
By the way, these are a whole bunch of different women playing sports here.
Enough.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm over it.
We shouldn't need commercials to tell you we're powerful.
No thanks.
Genders don't play sports. Athletes do.
Stop. Why do we have Title IX?
Right. We don't need it anymore. If there's no genders in sports.
Why do we have the WNBA?
women's basketball. I would really
like to suggest to the NBA that they start to draft women.
Yes.
And let's just see how that goes.
The NBA controls the WNBA. They subsidize it. Close it.
Or close the doors. Or you know what? Start letting men being drafted into the WNBA.
There'd be no W's in the WNBA if that was the case.
Right. Now this. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've heard something? I don't. I'm a pretty sound sleeper. My wife hears absolutely everything. And she's like, what's that? Honey, we're okay. What's that? Did she hear that? No, go back to sleep. Do you know the alarm will go off? Do you know how loud the alarm is? No, but I'm not sure it's going to go. It's going to go off, and it's 105 decibels. That's like a concert being turned on in our bedroom. There's nothing going on. Glass break technology, motion sensors, door sensors, high-definition cameras. That is not some, you know, special system for, you know, the rich and famous. That's simply safe. And the 105-decibel siren. And the fact that it will call police and the police will get there. So here's the thing. Simply Safe. They're having their biggest summer sale ever. Be able to look at your wife and go, honey, 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 honey. The alarm would have gone off. Simply Safe, largest summer sale they've ever had right now at simplysafebeck.com. If you go there, you'll also get $100 off their summer package, which already is incredibly low price. Simplysafebeck.com. You can install it, take control of your life, $14.95 a month, no contracts. You own the system. You're only paying the $14 or $15 just to get the police called if you need it. And if you can't afford the $15 for the month, you don't have to have the service for the month. I mean, you are truly in control of your own life. Go to simplysafebeck.com. Their exclusive summer package with their biggest ever summer sale, simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
There's a lot to cover on Monday when we come back. I want to get to the Derek Carr story because not only of all of the money that he's going to donate to tithing, but also now that they're leaving Oakland to go to Vegas, it's going to save him $8.5 million in taxes.
Jeez.
Awesome. Bye-bye, California. France is saying the end of sales of gas and diesel cars by 2040 in France.
This is
mandated. We'll tell you about that
Beck
Monday.
Program. Mercury.